In the Senate today, Goldman Sachs takes the stand.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The fraud charges against investment bank Goldman Sachs take center stage in Washington this morning. CEO Lloyd Blankfein will testify about Goldman's role in the financial crisis, as well as charges that the bank improperly sold mortgage-backed securities that were designed to fail. The trader at the center of those charges, Fabrice Tor, will also testify, as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
Fabrice Tor referred to himself as Fabulous Fab, perhaps because he was one of the early predictors of the subprime mortgage meltdown, and he turned it into a boon for Goldman Sachs and some of its clients.
Tor was a star, and he was an up-and-comer, but he was 29, and he wasn't the most senior executive.
That's Greg Zuckerman, the author of The Greatest Trade Ever, a book about the hedge fund on the other side of Goldman's alleged fraud. Zuckerman says Tor may be the latest scapegoat, but he wasn't the only one at the bank involved in deals that don't look too kosher in hindsight.
That was known within the firm all the way up the chain. So he's not the only person with knowledge within the firm, but the accusation is that he's the one with the most responsibility.
Zuckerman says Tor's testimony today is crucial. That is, if he can get a word in edgewise in a room full of angry senators. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, those same angry senators are debating an overhaul of financial regulations. Not an easy thing. It's hard to regulate markets if you don't understand them. And global markets are, as we have all learned, very, very tricky. They are made up of millions of decisions by flawed human beings. Tonight, the PBS science program NOVA explores how human psychology affects financial markets. One of the people who's in the show is Justin Fox, author of the book The Myth of the Rational Market. He joins us live now from Boston. Morning, Justin.
Good morning.
So first, is the premise of your book that individual people are irrational or that collectively we're irrational?
The book is really more about our collective irrationality, because I think there were arguments for years that obviously lots of individuals behave irrationally, but there was this theory that you bring them all together and you throw in a bunch of smart hedge fund managers and financial markets come up with pretty rational results.
Well,
and,
as I said,
my book is saying no, actually they don't.
Yes. So then I mentioned Congress is considering financial regulation right now. If markets are irrational, where does that mean you stand on this financial regulation debate?
Well, on the one level, it's clearly that's an argument for regulation, that markets overshoot, overdo it, have booms and busts. But if markets are irrational, government regulators presumably are too. And so any sort of regulation is going to have flaws, and kind of the more judgment it gives to the regulators, you'd think, the more problematic it would be.
Well, so give us an example of a regulation that's being considered in Congress now that you think is especially wise or flawed.
Well, I sort of favor the simpler regulations. So if you just say, okay, these all over-the-counter derivatives now have to move on to exchanges, or we need restrictions on how much leverage, how much banks can borrow, those seem simpler, whereas expecting this systemic risk council of regulators to do a really great job of sussing out the next financial crisis, I don't really think that's going to work so well.
Justin, we have about 30 seconds. You seem to be part of this wave of behavioral economics and cognitive psychology. We've learned so much about rationality, but really, have we learned anything that's helpful?
I mean, I think we've learned a lot that's helpful. I don't think it's going to stop us from making the same or slightly different mistakes in the future. We do, ever since we've had financial markets, they've gone in these waves of euphoria and pessimism. And I don't think, I mean, we've been able to sort of stall those for periods of time, and people have gotten to think, oh, we're really smart about monetary policy or regulation or whatever else. But I do think we are fated to go through these kinds of things every couple of decades.
Justin Fox, author of The Myth of the Rational Market, is part of tonight's NOVA on PBS, the episode called Mind Over Money. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Now let's check those irrational stock markets. Stocks are down in Europe and Asia. The bailout of Greece is looking rocky again. Germany said Athens needs to cut its deficit more before it gets any financial help. In New York yesterday, the Dow gained less than a point to close at 11,205.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. By the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And by Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com.
The British oil giant BP this morning said profits more than doubled last quarter to more than $6 billion. But today's results are overshadowed by last week's explosion at a BP drilling rig in the Gulf of Mexico. From London, Stephen Beard reports BP is responsible for the cost of cleanup and the company could also face legal action.
The accident off the coast of Louisiana is the deadliest of its kind in the U.S. for 40 years. 11 workers are missing, presumed dead. BP is battling to contain the environmental damage. 1,000 barrels of crude a day are leaking into the sea. Beaches and wildlife along hundreds of miles of American coastline are at risk. Peter Kemp is with Energy Intelligence in London. He says the disaster could hit the oil industry's hopes for future growth. It's a major setback for President Obama's plan to open up more offshore drilling.
Those groups and forces that are vehemently opposed to any further opening up offshore will obviously get a boost from this calamitous accident.
He says the disaster is another blow for BP's reputation in the U.S. The company received a record fine following a fire at its Texas City refinery in 2005. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, Hugh Hefner has donated almost $1 million to preserve land around the famous Hollywood sign above Los Angeles. The Playboy founder called the sign Hollywood's Eiffel Tower. Without the money, the sign would have been surrounded by a housing development. The sign's supporters say that would be tacky, unlike Hugh Hefner preserving the sign and calling it the Eiffel Tower. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.